You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, so Christ's ministry in the heavenly sanctuary is the subject that we're looking at today. It's been our subject over the last few days, and so I'm looking forward to getting into the conclusion now with an understanding of what the importance is. Before we do that, think about the fact that since returning to heaven, we're told that Jesus serves as our advocate and our intercessor. Okay, so he stands between us and Satan, and he also connects us directly to the Father. The Bible says in 1 John 2, verse 1, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So what does that mean? Why do we need an advocate? Who is accusing us? What is happening? I thought that after Jesus died and rose again, the story was finished. So what's going on? What is this all about? Elder Sam joins us on the line. Sam Pogonsi, thank you so much for joining us, my brother. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Bongi. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing today?
We have life. We have life. We're still breathing.
Absolutely.
By the blessings of the Lord.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
100%. All right. So we're talking about Christ's ministry, the heavenly sanctuary. But what does the scripture mean that Jesus is our advocate? Who is the accuser? Who is the judge? What is this whole courtroom scene that is painted in that statement? What does that mean?
You know, we lawfully, we are praised to Satan. And that's because of the sinful nature that we are inclined or born with,
okay,
right? And yielding ourselves to the sinful nature, the devil himself, he's the prince or the king of darkness. Mm-hmm. And He claims, you know, that we belong to him, you know, and he's the accuser. He's the one who's accusing us against God that, hey, we don't belong to God. Mm. We are not of God.
Yeah.
Because of sin, he decides to be the ruler of the powers of darkness. Hence, he claims us to belong to him. But because of Christ's sacrifice at the cross and being purchased by his blood, I'm impressed by the verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. He says, For God made him who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God.
Yeah.
So that's what it means, that, you know, because of the cross itself, we belong to God.
Mm-hmm.
To every repentant sinner who comes before Christ, he is of the purchase, receiving, you know, the sacrifice that has been made on our behalf.
Yeah. My issue with this is, I don't even have an issue with the scripture itself, but I've heard people argue about the fact that the way that it's painted, where Christ is our advocate, it almost sounds like Christ is begging on our behalf, and like God the Father doesn't want, he wants to condemn us. He's done with us. And then Jesus is the hero who's fighting for us and begging for us, like, please have mercy on them. Just correct that mm-hmm. picture for us, because I want us to have a proper understanding of what that means, Christ as our mm-hmm. advocate.
Of Christ standing as our advocate, right? Taking consideration that it doesn't mean that God is standing opposing, you know.
Right.
But the beauty side of this is that Christ himself, he also stands as judge, as much as he's the advocate. It may seem like an omen or some sort. But God, in looking at us, he sees us sinless through Christ, as if we've done nothing wrong.
Yeah.
Right? You know, so God, in looking at us, you know, he sees a perfect sacrifice. Because Christ even says, blessed are the pure in spirit, for they shall see God.
Mm.
The book of Acts, it says, Romans, it says that we all sinned and ran short of the glory of God. We've run short of the character of God.
Yeah.
Anyone who comes before God, God is pure and holy. Anyone who comes before God, he needs to be pure and holy.
Mm.
But now the beauty side of it is that we can come before God in boldness that he is our Father. You know, sinful we may be, but with repentance, Christ stands on our behalf.
Amen.
And we become accepted.
Amen. Amen. Now, and then the other thing that comes up is that if Christ's sacrifice was enough, what is still left to do in the heavenly sanctuary? What's going on there?
Hello, sorry, please repeat that. I've got problems with my network.
All right. I was saying that another question that often comes up is that if Christ's sacrifice was enough, if his death on the cross was enough, he even said it is finished, then what is still left to do with the heavenly sanctuary? What is still happening there?
All right, we go back to the sanctuary, to the earthly sanctuary,
Yeah.
right? Everything in the sanctuary represented the different phases of
Okay.
the plan of redemption, right? That heaven has made possible through the death of Christ Jesus. So every type that was used in the entire sacrificial system was designed by God, to bear resemblance to some spiritual truths that we are to learn,
Okay.
right? So the value of these types that consisted in were chosen by God, to shadow the different faces having mentioned. Yesterday we spoke about, about the setup of the sanctuary, right? It wasn't ideal to be there. It was miserable actually to be there. There was too much blood,
Hey.
and I spoke about it, that where there's blood stained
Yeah.
and there'll be flies,
Yeah.
there was too much smoke because they had to burn it's too much smoke. And imagine in a day of 2 million Israelites, we're
Yo.
talking about 2 million men. You
Yo.
know what more? Maybe they'll go up to 5 million. So it was messy, messy to such that the sanctuary will only be cleansed once a day,
Yeah.
right? So it was costly. It was costly. It wasn't ideal to be a high priest because the high priest himself had to be there in that condition. Maybe he'll be joining us when it comes to the Day of Atonement because that's where the cleansing will happen,
Yeah.
right? So in the Day of Atonement, what will happen is that the high priest will go in there and he'll go into the most holy place once a year,
Okay.
right? The seventh month of the 7th day of the 10th month. It was the Day of Atonement. And in the Day of Atonement, that's where all the daily sins, remember, he'll go daily, he'll have the blood
Yeah.
of the sinners,
Yeah.
being sprinkled on the veil, right? So on the Day of Atonement, all the sins that had been transferred in the sanctuary, so basically the sanctuary itself will be cleansed, right? Will be cleansed. You can read that in Leviticus chapter 16, verse 15 to 19, that the sanctuary was cleansed and the sins will be removed by the blood of the by the blood, that were represented by the lamb or by that particular animal,
Right.
right? So when Christ, by the cross, Christ being the Passover lamb, right? The true perfect lamb, right? Whereas we no longer need to be taking animals and go sacrifice. No, Christ has done that on our behalf. He
Right.
became the true perfect lamb, Passover. He was the Passover lamb. You can read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. He became the antitype of the Passover lamb. And when he died, he became the unleavened bread, right? The unleavened bread represented Christ's sinless body that
Yes.
was laid in the tomb, right? You can go read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, him being the unleavened bread. And when he resurrected, he took on the antitype of the first fruits, right? That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20, right? Christ, the first fruits of those resurrected from the dead. So every phase of the sanctuary was being met by Christ, right? And taking consideration in on the day-to-day sacrifices, the sinner, when he confessed his sin on the lamp, on the innocent lamp, his sins on a day-to-day will be atoned for. Does it make sense? So when Christ died on the cross, we did receive fullness of atonement.
Amen.
But it doesn't mean that there's no day of atonement.
Right.
The cross itself atones. Atonement means that being made one, at one meant,
Right,
right? Two
right.
parties coming together,
Yes.
being made one with God through Christ. So it basically, Christ becomes the glue between us and his holiness
Right.
in divinity.
But it doesn't end there.
So at the cross itself, there's completion of being made one with God.
Yes.
But now there's another phase that needed to follow. Mm. Right? Remember, there's the first fruits. After the first fruits, if you read Leviticus 16, after the first fruits, then came the Pentecost. Remember, in Leviticus 16, it says that now you have to count 50 days, right, mm-hmm. before the feast of the Pentecost. And now we learn that when Christ ascended, he tells the Israel, the disciples to go and assemble. And we see the Pentecost, the Holy Spirit coming upon the children or the disciples, and they went out in fullness of power of the Holy Spirit. But now after the Pentecost, then followed the Feast of the Trumpets, right? We can read that in Revelation chapter chapter 8 and 9, where it reflects the different scenes of history, which were the trumpets, right? Then after the trumpets, then we're told that then the Day of Atonement follows after that.
Okay.
And we'll unveil what happens in the Day of Atonement.
Mm-hmm. And then speaking again about cleansing the sanctuary, when and how will the heavenly sanctuary be cleansed?
Anyone who wants to study further, you know, on the Day of Atonement or the sanctuary itself, I love how Paul puts it, mm-hmm. right, in the book of Hebrews chapter 9. Go and read the book of Hebrews chapter 9. Now, Paul paints a very beautiful picture on how the setup of the earthly sanctuary was,
uh-huh.
right? He states that he states in Hebrews chapter 9 in verse 2, he tells us that in the first tabernacle this. And he states if you go to the original language, it says it was Hagia, right? Meaning the holy place.
Okay.
Does it make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in the second, he then mentions in verse 3, you know, after the second veil,
mm-hmm.
he points that it was the most holy place. And in the Hebrew language is Hagia Hagion, right? Hagia Hagion.
Okay.
You know, so I love, after mentioning all this about the first and the second temple, right? He says in verse 8 that the Holy Spirit, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all, right, was not yet made manifest into the heavenly sanctuary. While all these things were happening, you know, the Holy Spirit signifying that all these things was not yet made manifest. While the first tabernacle, while the earthly tabernacle was standing. So Christ had to fulfill all things in the first tabernacle, which was the earthly sanctuary, mm-hmm. before going to the heavenly sanctuary. You know, in verse 9, it says, which was the figure for the time then present, in which were both, you know, he basically talks about the gifts and offerings that were laid. Now, here's my point, which I'm coming to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he says in verse 11, but Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and cows, but by his own blood. So Christ having entered into, actually, in verse 12, it tells us that he entered into with his own blood once into the holy place, Hagia, into the holy place, Hagia, having not yet entered into the most holy place, which is a subject of another day. You know, but you can read that in Daniel chapter 9. You know, when he entered into the most holy place, you know, if you read Daniel chapter 8, verse 14, it says, unto 2,300 days, then the sanctuary will be cleansed.
Mm-hmm.
Leviticus 16 tells us that in the Day of Atonement, the sanctuary will be what? Will be cleansed. So now, if one will take that parallelism, you know, of the sanctuary being cleansed, right? The children of God are being cleansed. Anyone who receives the great sacrifice of God, you know, through Christ, we are being cleansed. The church of God is being cleansed. Our hearts are being worked for. You know, the whole purpose of the investigative judgment of Christ being there in the heavenly sanctuary is to help us to come into the pureness of faith as the church bodily. And thus we stand where we also need to invite others us, you know, to come and experience, you know, this beautiful walk with Christ, where we become liberated mentally, we become liberated in our livelihood, we walk in the freeness, you know, of the joyous of walking, having that experiential walk with Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the purpose of the investigative judgment. Christ being the high priest, holding a policing, holding a torch, who is holy, who's not holy, policing us. No, it's about him impressing his character upon us. Mm-hmm. So that we may live liberated in this earth. While we are in this earth, we can live a life of the kingdom of heaven. And that's the purpose of the Christ being in the heavenly place, so that we may live life purposely. Mm-hmm. Not feeling policed, you know, because yes, if you walk feeling policed, you'll end up adding your own laws. Mm. You'll end up making Christianity miserable. That's where the problem is.
Yeah. It's not true freedom.
It's not true freedom, yeah. You know. So that's the purpose of Christ being the heavenly places. Yeah. That we do not wait for the new heavens and the new earth to start living life. Yeah. But no, we can start living life now.
Yes.
Now.
Yes.
And we can claim the promises now.
Amen.
And God imputes all those blessings through Christ. Through Christ. Remember, Christ says, you know, He has inherited all things,
yeah,
you know, as human, and that's because of, for us, on our behalf.
Amen.
You know, so he made it possible to live life.
Beautiful. I love that. And, you know, there's so much that we can learn from, you know, the whole sanctuary message. And I know someone out there is thinking, yo, this is a lot, and I don't understand.
It's a lot.
But even with that, my elder, the problem is that sometimes when we hear that, when we start hearing things and we are a little bit confused, our tendency is to just dismiss the entire thing and just say, this one is not for me. Let someone else study it. Me, I'm just going to go back to the, I want to know that Jesus loves me and that's enough for me. I don't care about that. What is the danger of not studying and understanding the sanctuary message? What's the significance of it? Why do we need to understand it? What does it have to do with our salvation? What is its a place in the great controversy, for example? What's the big deal about the sanctuary message?
The big deal about the sanctuary message is, number one, to know the future.
Okay.
We want to know the future. We want to know tomorrow, because there's so much happening. Perplexity is happening. There's so much that is happening that you can get so discouraged, you know, discouraging. Mm. And the sanctuary message itself unveils, you know, it reveals, you know, what will happen.
Mm.
You know, that, hold on, Christ is standing as a high priest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the earthly sanctuary, while the Israelites were, with contrite spirit, waiting for the high priest to come out of the most holy place, you know, they knew that as soon as he's out, there will be a day of jubilee.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is, it's an antitype that Christ is ministering in the most holy place. And when he is done, in the book of Revelation it says, let he who is holy be holy, let his who be just, let, you know, and when he is done with the work, he will take on upon himself the kingly robe and come fetch his children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so in the book of Daniel 12, verse 1, it says, and Michael shall stand.
Mm.
Michael shall stand. And that's what we are waiting for. Michael shall stand. And when he stands, we know that it is done.
Yes.
This miserable, sinful life, so much happened. And the sins, that consequences of sins that we are affected of, the disappointments of life, you know, they'll come to an end, you know, and that's when we know that, hey, this is the one in whom we've been waiting for. So that's number one. Number one is that we can face tomorrow with great hope.
Amen.
That Christ is ministering on our behalf, and we need not give up with our Christian journey.
Mm.
Till we become faithful, even unto death, because he conquered death. Even when we lose our loved ones, we still become faithful because we know who holds the keys. And when he comes, when he's done ministering, right now he's ministering. You know, so that's the number one. We find comfort and joy that we've got a big brother up there on our behalf. You know, then number two, every type and every type in the sanctuary has its own antitype. Mm-hmm. And Christ had fulfilled all of these things. Mm-hmm. You know, so every article in the temple, you know, fully presented the love of God, right? So in studying it, you know, it's beyond the science of sciences, you know, in studying the sanctuary message, yeah. By the way. It's not about relics and ancient customs that were there. Mm-hmm. But if one will approach it with the lens of Christ Jesus' life, he will see a beautiful mosaic picture painted to such that you become so impressed with the great sacrifice that God had designed for us.
Amen.
Right? Number three, it's David, right? I think we mentioned yesterday, David, Psalms chapter 73, you know, where he reflects about the prosperity of the wicked and the struggles of the righteous, mm-hmm. you know, and up, you know, but his perspective changed, shifted, you know, when he entered the sanctuary, you know, life was now made clear to David when he understood the sanctuary that, hey, I'm not a failure. I'm a child of God. Mm-hmm. All these things happen, you know, Romans chapter 8, 28, all these things happen for our good, to them that called, you know, to his purpose. So life is not a mistake. God has called me to represent and reflect his glory while I'm here on this earth. Mm-hmm. You know, so hence, you know, he says in the book of Psalms, he says, thy way, O Lord, is through the sanctuary. So to understand God's ways on this earth, go and visit the sanctuary. It's not complex. Mm. You know, God will enlighten us.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful. So, and with that, I think we can call it a day. Thank you so much, my elder, for coming through.
Amen. God bless you all and have a happy Sabbath.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much, elder.
Thank you, Kepa.
It's such a complicated subject if you're not paying attention, but I have faith in us. I think that with enough time, with enough dedication, with enough commitment, we can understand it. And even the little that we've been able to share over the last few days, I think opens our eyes in so many ways. And like the elder said, the fact that when we study the sanctuary and we start to understand it, just like David's experience, a lot of these other things, as the song says, when you turn your eyes upon Jesus, the things of this earth start to grow strangely dim. And all the things that have got your attention right now, the things that are stressing you out, all of them start to pale in comparison to the beauty of what Jesus is doing for you and I right now in the sanctuary. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that a beautiful thought? I think it's amazing.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.